Good morning.
Well, good morning, Becky.
Good morning.
Here we are at the gate, and we're expecting wonderful, exciting things here this morning, aren't we?
Yes, yes, we welcome you. This is going to be a glorious day. We just had prayer time in our prayer room this morning,
yes.
And so we're just ready to go, and we welcome anyone who online to let us know you're here. And we are here to pray for you this morning until service starts at 9:15, or prophesy, or whatever the Lord has today. We're ready to do it.
That's
so
right.
Welcome you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so let us know. I'll just share one thing this morning. The Lord spoke to me in the prayer room was I saw Jesus come in the room, and I'm just saying this is for you as well this morning. I saw Jesus come in the room, and he was holding people. And he was saying, shh, 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 like you do with a baby when you're hushing a baby, you're soothing. And I felt like he said, I'm soothing souls today. So I feel like that if you are someone who needs that message or that word today, just receive that. The Lord is soothing your soul today. It's his loving kindness. That's what he said too. He said, it's my loving kindness that brings that soothing to your soul today.
Oh, that's a good word, Becky.
Yes.
How many of us need just that soothing, that comforting,
yes.
more than you know. A lot of us do. So
that's right.
That's a good word.
I know, even in the world we're living in right now, with all the stuff out there and chaos swirling and all that's happening in the world, as the world has darkness, we need the light that Christ brings that mm-hmm. can bring us to that place of feeling that comfort and strength. We can be lights that he can shine through us, that we don't have to be brought down by what's happening around us, but that we can receive the goodness of the Lord. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord, for your soothing soul. We just welcome you, Lord, here, that we just mm-hmm. say, be glorified this morning in this place, be glorified through us, and for mm-hmm. we just bless everyone, Lord, who would be watching this morning, and welcome them and pray that they would just let us know that they're here. We would
That's
love
to
bless you this morning.
That's right. Another word that just kept kind of coming forth in our prayer time was just the ministry of angels. God says we can call on angels to help minister to those who are to the heirs of salvation. Yes. And he just said that there would be many angels here this morning. And so we're expectant to what God is going to do to salvations, revelations, healings. So just kingdom work done here this morning, we believe.
Yes. And I'll just read a little bit until somebody hops on. Let us know if you're here, and we'll stop. But Psalm 27 was on our reading this morning that we're doing a read through the Bible in a year of the churches. But I also was listening to someone else this morning, and he got on, and he was speaking, and he used this exact same verse. And so I just thought, oh, I love this. It says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So we just received that this morning, that there is nothing that we need to fear or be afraid of, but that God is with us, and he is our light and our salvation.
That's right. That's right. And I see someone's joined us. Ada, yes. Iris Rivera Benila.
Welcome.
Do you know that person?
I do not, but welcome. We are so happy you jumped on with us this morning.
Yeah, she says, pray for the pain in my back and knee. So.
Right. Yes. Okay.
Yes. Well, that's just what we were praying about, that God is here to heal and deliver. And so we just say back pain and knee pain be healed in the name of Jesus. Ida, we just pray for you that God would comfort you with that shushing that Becky heard, that he would just put his arms around you and comfort you. And we just pray that back pain and knee pain would go and be diminished. And
thank you, Lord. Yes. And I just, my sister, I have a sister, an older sister, who has had that issue in her back and also in her knee, and they were kind of related to each other, and she has had great breakthrough lately. So we stand on that testimony this morning for Ada. We just say, Lord, what you have done in my sister Sharon, that you would do this for Ada.
Yeah.
That, Lord, you would touch and restore those nerves, tendons, bone. Lord, we just pray for alignment, everything to come back into alignment. From the top of her head, whatever is out of alignment, Lord, from the top of her head all the way down to the soles of her feet, we just pray, Lord, just pour out that healing, beautiful healing balm, Lord, that it would just flow everywhere, Lord. And even over Ada's mind today, Lord, that she would not be troubled. That she would not be in despair or dismayed. And I just thank you, Lord, that your promise is that you will never leave or forsake Ada. That, Lord, you have everything that she needs, and that your arms are around her. I just see him holding you, Ada. He is so near to you now, and that he is just whispering in your ear his love for you, his care for you. So, Lord, I just thank you for that, that you are the one who knows every need that we have, and he knows the pain that you've been in. So we just believe, Lord, that you are doing a good work in Ada today, and we bless her in Jesus' name.
Yes. I pray that, Ada, you would feel and sense God's presence like you never have before, even right where you're at right now, that if you just close your eyes, you would just sense his presence just near to you in Jesus' name.
Amen. And Debbie is on here.
Oh,
and
yay.
The Lord gave me a decree for you. I knew it was for you this morning. And I said, well, okay, Lord, if Debbie gets on, I'm going to read this decree. So this is for Debbie and anyone else that's on here that this resonates in your heart. Mm-hmm. You receive this. Today we decree over you, Debbie, that you are called by God. You are anointed and appointed for a divine purpose to accomplish something fruitful and lasting. We prophesy a fresh anointing for heavenly service comes upon you. Like Jesus, we say, Debbie, you are empowered to go about doing good and setting people free from oppression.
Yes.
We declare that you will impact lives in a divine way. We bind the works of the enemy to devalue you and try to pull you into lethargy or a place that is void of purpose. We say your goals are defined and ordained from heaven, and that all you set your hands to do prospers. May you accomplish more this year and do more for the kingdom of God than ever before. Let divine doors be opened before you that will bring you before people of influence that you might affect them with the anointing. We declare that over you today, Debbie,
yes.
In Jesus' name.
Yes. Amen. Amen. I just want to bless Debbie, too. What a good friend she is. And just that anointing that breaks the yokes.
Yes.
Thank you, God.
Okay, Nicole. I see Nicole is on.
Oh.
And Nicole, I know you are not the only one. Says we have influenza running through our home currently, the boys, but Spencer's the worst. And I know there was another family, I can't remember now if it was Pearl, or there is influenza going around. So
yes.
We just say, we agree for healing, Nicole, for Spencer, for all of the children. Lord, we just say over every household right now, but
yes.
We just say, Lord, we just bring quick healing. We just break the fevers off in the name of Jesus,
yes.
And the inflammation that's going on in their bodies. We just say their immune systems are rising up,
yes.
To fight off any effects of the influenza. We just speak
healing.
Strength, peace, sweetness even. I just say, Lord, release your sweetness over them, that they would just experience, even though they may not feel good in their body at this very moment, that they still have your peace, your joy, your strength. They can cherish each other and take good care of each other. But we just thank you, Lord, for a breakthrough, that people are being healed of influenza now in the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. We just declare that by Jesus' stripes you are healed, and that he died for your healing. And we just are believing that. We pray especially for Spencer, who's really struggling with it. We just say even today he would just feel a cooling in the fever, and that he would drink plenty of water. And yes, I agree with Becky that his immune system would rise for their whole family. Immune system arise in Jesus' name.
Yes, yes. And I just hear too, Spencer, you are a joy.
Yes.
Spencer, you are a joy and a blessing to those who know you, and that you have so much ahead of you. I just can see that there's a path that you're on, Spencer, that is different. You aren't walking the same path as everyone else, but that you can delight in that. You can know that the Lord has set you apart for his plans and purposes, and that you would walk in peace and joy and confidence, that you would have just a confidence and a boldness. And we just say, yes, you are coming out of that sick bed in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. And Pearl is watching. Lord,
morning,
we thank
Pearl.
You for Pearl, and just how I just say she has a sweet, sweet spirit. And we just pray for her, and we pray for her family, her husband, and her two little children. And we just thank you for who she is, who you made her to be. And she is strong. In the Lord. She is strong in the Lord. And we know that he has a plan and a purpose and a destiny for you and for your family, God. We just thank you. We thank you that she's a part of this house.
Yes.
Thank you, God.
And Pearl, was it you that that has illness in your home too? Were your kids up in the night the day before last? I think it was you, but I just speak blessing and health the same over your household, Pearl, that your children would be strong and healthy and well, and that they would be rising up out of those sick beds, and that their strength would be renewed. And Pearl, I pray for you as the mom. I know that when you're going through hard things, my kids have the flu, so we just say the same for you, Pearl, that in this season that the healing is your portion. We just speak healing is your portion, and we speak rest and peace over you, Pearl. I know as the mom, it's hard to have the sick kids because you're it. You don't get a day off, and you are the one that meets those needs. And I just pray that God would strengthen you and protect your health, that you and your husband would not receive any of this influenza, anything that's going around in your household. We just say it's done. And it's over now in the name of Jesus. And I just speak joy over you, Pearl, that there would be joy in your household, that, God, you would just release joy over them, that they've been in this place of concern and you're a little worried when kids get fevers and stuff. So I just say, Lord, let your joy be released in that place, that the joy of the Lord is truly Pearl's portion today, and that is her strength in Jesus' name.
We pray the same thing that we prayed for Nicole's kids, that their immune system would rise up in Jesus' name.
Yes, yes, and yes, yes. Amen.
I see Jen's on here too, Lord. We just pray blessing for you, Jen, that just your day would be a blessed day. Your week would be a blessed week, and we just thank you for her.
Yeah, we just speak health over you too, Jen.
Yeah,
in your household, if there's anything going on, we just say that people are being healed today and getting out of any sick beds. But thank you for Jen's heart for you, her love for you, Lord. I just thank you, God, that she is bold and courageous to step into new situations and to walk in your goodness and your strength. I thank you that she keeps her eyes fixed on you and that, Lord, you direct every path that she walks on. And that I just thank you, Lord, that you're faithful and true. I just feel like the Lord wants you to know and remind you today, Jen, that the Lord's name is faithful and true. And that he is going to supply everything that you need. He is faithful.
Yes.
And he will come through when you need him. He will not let you down. And he will not leave you. He will not leave you alone or leave you in a place where you're wanting to get out of. I just declare that you are leaping forward. You are stepping forward and leaping forward in this new year.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Yes. Amen. Amen. And
thank
it looks
you.
Like the worship team is coming and the place is filling up, but it's not too late. If you're wanting to come to church, just get in your car and buzz on over here.
Yep.
It's going to be a good morning. It's
yeah, so Lord,
morning.
We just thank you for this time.
Mm-hmm.
We bless our church service today.
Yep.
And we just say, Holy Spirit, come and move in
yes.
power among us and bless everyone who's at home watching this today. That, Lord, you would meet
yes.
every single need of those that are watching in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Good morning, church. Good morning, family. Are you ready to worship this morning? Let's stand to our feet. We're going to praise him. Go ahead, Larry. Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
Let praise be the weapon that conquers the enemy. Let praise be the weapon that conquers all anxiety. Let it rise. Let praise arise. We sing your name in the dark and it changes everything. We sing with all we are and we claim your victory. Let it rise. Let praise arise. Hey! We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. Cause fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side. Forever lift you high. With all creation cry, God, we praise you. Overcomes the rage and sea. Let faith be the song that calms the storm inside of me. Let it rise. Let faith arise. Hey! We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. Cause fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side. Forever lift you high. With all creation cry, God, we praise you. Oh, we praise you. Oh, we praise you. Oh, we praise you. Oh, let's break it down. Here we go. Those 10 stringed instruments out this morning. We're going to give him some praise. We sing it like this. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you. We praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you. We praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you. We praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you. We praise. We see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. Cause fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthrough.
Can't hold back my pride.
what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you. We pray. We see you break down every wall. We watch the giants fall. This fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side. Forever lift you high. We love creation. Make some noise today, church. Yes, Lord. We love you, Jesus. You're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy, God.
Yes, Lord.
Just begin to lift your own voices up to Him this morning and worship your own song.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. You alone are worthy of it all. We bless you, we bless you. We bless you, we bless you, Lord. The earth is filled with the glory of the Lord. Sioux Falls is filled with the glory of the Lord this morning. This house is filled with the knowledge of the glory, the knowledge, the knowing, the experiencing of your presence. Oh, we love your presence. We love you, we love you, oh God. Have your way this morning, Holy Spirit. Have your way, Holy Spirit, this morning. How we love your presence. Oh, oh, oh. In the glory of your presence, I find rest for my soul. In the depths of your love, I find peace, makes me whole. I love your presence. I love your presence. I love your presence. Sing it with me, the glory, in the glory of your presence, I find rest. for my soul. Receive that this morning in the depths of your love. I find peace makes me whole. Sing, I love your presence. Here we go. I love. As we're singing that this morning, it's like I can hear him singing it back. Actually, he's singing it first over us. He sings it to you. I love, I love. He sings it over you this morning. I love your presence. I love to be with you, child. I love, I love. Oh, child, I love your presence. I love, I love. He says, I love to be with you. And I love to be here with you. I love, I love. Oh, the Lord says, I love your presence. And even as you take time to be with me this morning, I'm lifting burdens off of your life. I'm lifting the weight of depression off of you this morning as you're in my presence. And I'm bringing healing to you today here in my presence. As your eyes are on me today, as we spend time together today, as you're here with me today in my presence. Oh, yes, God. Yes, God. I'm reminded this morning that presence, the word in Hebrew, just means face. We're here in your face today, God. Reveal your smiling face right now, God.
Thank you, God. Brent,
yes.
Becky, would you come and share that vision that you had in prayer this morning about God comforting?
Oh, I just saw the Lord come in the room, in the place, and I just felt like he had his arms outstretched, and there was people who were troubled or upset. I just felt like he came and was drawing them in, and he was saying, shh, 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 like you do with a baby. And I felt like the Lord was saying, I'm soothing souls today.
Yeah.
And I felt like it was by his loving kindness. He is soothing souls today.
Yes. Yes, God. We say yes, Lord. Thank you that you're drawing us in with cords of kindness. You're soothing us,
yeah,
like a papa does their baby, God. We crawl up in your lap. I got to do this. It makes me think as you're saying that. My dad used to sing this over me before I can remember hardly anything. I remember my dad singing, Daddy loves his baby boy. Daddy loves his baby boy. My dad used to sing this over me. Daddy loves his baby boy. He sings it over you this morning, your heavenly daddy. Daddy loves his baby child, his baby child. Daddy loves his little darling baby child. Just let you hold us this morning, Lord. Let you love us this morning and draw us in, speaking tenderly to us today. was found in you before I was lost in Adam. I was found in you before I was lost in Adam. Love was crucified from the world's foundation. So why should I strive to find my way home when you brought your heavenly home to me? To me. I abide in your strong arms wrapped around me, holding me here. I'm alive as your spirit burns within me, loving me, lost in your story. That's where I'm found. Nothing can tear me. From you, nothing can tear me away. You included me. Death and resurrection, and you carried me to the arms of Abba. So why should I search anywhere else to find what I already have? Your story, singing the day long. Right now in your presence, right here, right now in your presence. Thank you for your presence. Oh, you've saved me. You're the God who saved me. Oh, there's something to be excited about. You're the God who saved me. You're the God who found me. When I tried to run away, when I tried to go the other way, you're the God who found me. Yeah, we love you. We love your presence, Lord. Love your presence, Lord. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Thank you for your presence. Oh, your loving arms are around us. Your loving arms are around us, even now, even now. Holy Spirit, do whatever you want to do in the house this morning. Thank you for your presence, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship you, we worship you. We have time just to be with you this morning, Lord. We have time just to be in your presence. Let's just sing the bridge of this next song. And I know that your eyes are like flames of fire. I know your head is white as wool. And I know your voice, it sounds like water. Jesus, you're beautiful. And I know that your eyes are like flames of fire. I know your head is white as wool. And I know your voice, it sounds like water. Jesus, you're beautiful. Come on, sing it now. For I know that your eyes are like flames of fire. I know your head is white as wool. And I know your voice, it sounds like water. Jesus, you're beautiful. For I know that your eyes are like flames of fire. I know your head is white as wool. And I know your voice, it sounds like water. Sounds like water. Oh yeah. Use your own words.
For I know that your eyes are like flames of fire. I know your head is white as wool. And I know your voice, it sounds like water. Jesus, you're beautiful. And I know that your eyes are like flames of fire. I know your head is white as wool. And I know your voice, it sounds like water. Jesus, you're beautiful. Tell him this again. Oh, Jesus, you're beautiful. Jesus, you're beautiful. Jesus, you're beautiful. Oh, there's no one like you, no one like you, Lord. We say, Jesus, you're beautiful. Jesus, you're beautiful. No one like you, God. Jesus, you're beautiful. Tell him that again, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, you're beautiful. Jesus, you're beautiful. Jesus, you're beautiful. You're beautiful, oh Lord. We say, Jesus, you're beautiful. Jesus, you're beautiful. Jesus, you're beautiful. So beautiful. Tell him this morning, you're so beautiful. So beautiful. The old song says, you are so beautiful to me. Come on, just tell him that with me this morning. You are, oh yeah. You are so beautiful to me. And I know you see. And I know you see. Yeah. You're everything I hope for.
Come on, God. Yeah, God. And I know, God, that your smile, God, is towards us. And I know, God, that your hands are gentle and they hold us in. And I know, God, you've got shoulders that we get to ride on. And I know that you have feet that run towards us, Lord God. And I know, God, that you're a constant friend. God, we know, I declare, God, maybe we don't know. Maybe we don't know, God, but we say that's who you are. You're a lover, yeah. Looking for a lover, God. You hold us by the hand, God. You draw us in. You sing over us, Lord God. We just thank you that you are that type of God, that type of leader, that type of friend, that type of daddy, that type of God counselor. We just thank you. That's who you are.
Yes.
And we do declare you're beautiful to us, God. And we want more. We want to know
yes.
you more. We want this to go deeper, deeper, God.
Woo, yes.
We love you, Jesus. And everybody
yes.
says,
amen.
Amen. Come on. Get some of that. Way to go. Thank you, worship team. Wasn't that good? What a blessing that these guys have been learning their whole lives how to play instruments and sing. And here they are in front of us just leading us into more of God, right? Our eyes being open more, our hearts being open more. So that's awesome. Welcome to the gate. We're pumped that you're here. Our mission statement says this. Well, part of it says we're a welcoming family encountering God. So we pray that you sense that this morning, that you're welcome and that he's here. Like maybe even if you don't feel welcome, like he's here. God's in the room. He's ministering. He's speaking. He's holding you. And yeah, so we strongly believe that around here, and we strongly believe that we're going to sense God in the room. And so we even want to just take 10 minutes here and just go, hey, God, what are you saying? what are you saying? And we're really going to believe that you're hearing from him. And whatever you feel like he's telling you, maybe it's a name, maybe it's a sickness with the name, maybe he wants to give you a word to encourage somebody in here, text it into us. Text it into that 865-GATE number, and we're just gonna run with what God's giving you. And maybe you're like, man, I don't know. This is a perfect place to strike out. Like, go ahead. Swing as hard as you can for the fence. And if you totally miss, it's okay. Like, totally, it's totally fine. So this is a safe place to practice hearing his voice. So yeah, God speak. Lord, let us hear your voice. So, fun part is you guys will send in texts, and then we have all these mighty kiddos up here. They're going to help us pray back what you send in, and they're going to get some of their own stuff as well. So yeah, I'll just kick us off. I felt like I was getting the name John this morning, and that John was dealing with like a sore throat or just like cough sickness. So is there a John in here this morning dealing with like a cough or a sore throat or anything like that? Like, this is me swinging for the fences too. Like, all right, I'm going to try. Here we go. God, what are you saying? Okay. No problem. He could be joining us online, or 5 years ago, 5 years from now, he could stumble upon this. So yeah. Or there could be anybody with a sore throat. Might not just be John. Come on. The wisdom of an 8-year-old. There we go. All right. Well, let's just pray for John and anybody else with sore throats. Good job, Ivy. You guys want to help me? Mighty ones, you guys want to help me? Let's do this. So, Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you.
That you're alive.
That you are alive.
And you are the healer.
And you are the healer.
And we declare.
We declare.
Sore throat's gone.
Sore throat's gone.
And that John would be healed.
And that John would be healed.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
I got Luca. Dear Jesus, I pray for Luca. I pray that whatever wrong would be healed right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Do you know that baby back there's name is Luca? Come on. He didn't know that. Dude. Come on. Go, Jesus.
I heard Reese was sick, but she was going to come to my house. So, dear God, I pray for Reese Rinky, that she'll feel better and she'll have a great time. And that she'll feel better so she'll get ready and she'll get up here and start praying those words. In Jesus' name, yeah. Amen.
Okay, so Eden didn't want to pray on the microphone, but she wanted to pray about addictions and breaking off addictions. Oh, wait, hang on. And then Carrie texts in and says, let's pray for all who are suffering from addictions. So let's pray for that.
All right, yeah, let's pray for addictions. Come on, pray against it. All right, Jesus.
Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That you're the healer.
That you are the healer.
That you're the savior.
You're the savior.
That means saved.
That means
healed. And delivered.
And delivered.
So thank you.
So thank you.
For breaking chains.
For breaking chains.
Right now.
Right now.
Of addiction.
Of addiction.
Thank you for your perfect love.
Thank you for your perfect love.
Just smothering addiction.
Smothering addiction.
We break it.
We
cast it out.
We cast it out.
We say that day's over.
That day's over.
And you win, Jesus.
You win, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
What do you got, Ivy?
I'm going to pray for, like, anybody who has anything, like, anything. Like,
any sickness?
Yeah, any sickness.
Okay.
Jesus, I pray that you would heal anybody who is hurt, who is sick, who is anything like that. Jesus, I just pray that you will heal them right now. Amen.
Oh, amen.
Oh. That's good. I just want to say, okay, so Jeremiah texted in asking for prayer about discontinuing alcoholism and smoking. And so we got you covered, bro. We got you covered.
Yeah.
Those addictions are going to break off. We
yeah, let's just
that.
Pray for him
yes.
because he's reaching out.
That's
he's saying,
right.
you know, this I don't want this anymore.
Right.
So, Jesus.
Yes.
Thank you for Jeremiah.
Thank you for Jeremiah.
And him being bold to write that in.
And him being bold to write that in.
God, grant him.
Grant him.
The ability.
The ability.
To break this thing.
To break this thing.
Today's a new day.
Today's a new day.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's pray for Uriah, who is sick with a headache, a cough, a fever, and throwing up.
Yeah, yeah, let's go after it. So
Jesus,
we lift up Uriah.
We lift up Uriah.
And we just say all these symptoms.
Say all these symptoms.
You need to go. Headache, go. Nausea, go.
Nausea, go.
Fever, go.
Fever, go.
And let her just encounter you, God.
And let her encounter you, God.
The lover of all the ages.
The lover of all the ages.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Melanie wants to pray that anybody struggling with suicidal thoughts would be rescued from those thoughts.
Come on. Come yes. on. We just declare.
We declare.
The devil's a liar.
The devil is a liar.
We say these ones.
We say these ones.
Struggling.
Struggling.
With those thoughts.
With those thoughts.
God, you recalibrate their brains.
That you recalibrate their brains.
Let them think your thoughts.
Let them think your thoughts.
Let them dream your dreams.
Let them dream your dreams.
Let them hear your voice.
Let them hear your voice.
Let them feel your arms wrapped around them.
Let them feel your arms wrapped around them.
Let them even feel your kiss on their life.
Let them feel your kiss on their life.
We say suicidal thoughts, get out in Jesus' name.
Yeah, get out.
Get out in Jesus' name. Get out in
Jesus'
name.
Yes. Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
Yeah, a little fire from the background. Come on. Woo!
I got depression. Dear Jesus, I pray that depression would just get out of everybody. I just pray that it would be gone right now. In Jesus' name. Amen.
There was a prayer request sent in asking for prayer breaking all anxiety and fear in children. So would you be willing to pray for that one too? Okay.
Dear Jesus, I pray that anxiety would be gone.
Yes.
And all the fear would be gone
yes.
right now.
Good job, John.
You are the light, Lord.
That's right.
In Jesus' name.
That's right.
Amen.
Can we do one more?
Yeah, how about a praise?
Yeah, let's do a praise.
Keith Johnson said, last week we prayed for his back, and his back is healed.
Come on. Woo! That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. He got attacked by the army of kids on Sunday morning. Okay, didn't really get attacked. It was a love squeeze or whatever you want to call it. Also, Carrie told me that they have a friend named Mike who's been battling cancer, and the doctors have basically said there's nothing else we can do. So he actually went down to Mexico to get some help down there and get some different vitamins or something like that. So let's just pray for Mike, because there's hope, even when somebody's told there's not hope, because God's the great physician. He's the great surgeon. He's the healer. So in all forms of cancer, yeah. So Jesus. We lift up Mike.
We lift up Mike.
Who really needs you.
Who really needs you.
Who really needs your touch.
Who really needs your touch.
And needs your healing.
He needs your healing.
We say we believe.
We say we believe.
That you can do it.
That you can do it.
So God. Today.
Today.
Heal Mike.
Heal Mike.
Cast out cancer.
Cast out cancer.
Let him be cancer free.
Let him be cancer free.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Everybody said.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. All right. Extra innings. Here we go.
I got the name Jonathan with a broken leg.
Come on.
Dear God, I pray for Jonathan that his broken leg will be healed. And he won't have to suffer that pain anymore.
Yeah.
No one will. You will strike out all the pain in the world in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Come on. Prayer can be fun,
that.
Right, Jericho? Come on.
Woo!
All right. We're going to transition here a little bit from worship to worship. Glory to glory. But we can transition our kiddos out to Kids Church. We have three rooms for them this morning. Kiddos that usually are in the gym, you're going to be upstairs in room 201. So 5 to 11-year-olds are with Pastor Darren and I upstairs. We have a nursery for all babies to 2. Miss Teresa Maynard's in there. And then in the 3 and 4-year-old room, Miss Nicole Pullman is in there. So 3 rooms for your kiddos. And I think we have another room.
And we've got a room upstairs for our youth. So any students who are grades 6 through 12 are invited to join us upstairs for some donuts and some digging into the Word together. So just up these stairs that way.
Yeah.
Woo-woo.
Sounds like upper room stuff to me, huh? I'm going to invite our elders that are going to be preparing communion to go ahead and come up this morning and prepare. It's first Sunday, and first Sunday of the month, we've set aside, as we always do communion together every week, but we've set aside a special time for us to do family communion. Let me explain this today, hopefully a little better than last month, so that you guys kind of get a feel for what we're doing. Rather than every other week that we do this, you come up and you receive communion in groups together, or else you just kind of take it on your own, however you would like during worship. We want to set aside a time that the elders have an opportunity to serve communion to you and for us to serve you. And by the way, we have the most amazing elders in the world here. Amen. They are awesome. Have such servants' hearts. And so this morning, they'll be standing, and as you come through the line, they will serve you the bread and the cup. As they do, go ahead and receive it right then. You don't need to take it back to your seat with you. You can just receive it as you're going through the line this morning, as if Jesus were serving you in that moment, because that's actually what's going to happen. Amen?
Amen.
That's what's going to happen. So what we'll do today, we're going to take an opportunity to both give and receive. We'll come down the center aisle. That's the way we give together. We have planters here for physical giving. If you want to give by check or cash, you can give in the planters here. You'll also notice that we have a screen up that will show you a QR code that you can scan. You can give through our app. You can text to give. All these various ways that you can give this morning. But whether you give electronically or physically, or if you don't have anything to give at all, please, we have an open table. You say, you guys say you have an open table. What does that mean? That means everybody's welcome. That's what open table means. You say, well, I don't know. Should everybody be welcome? You might have to take that up with Jesus, because even Judas was invited that night. So everybody is welcome at the table of the Lord.
Right.
And you say, well, what if I don't know him as my Lord and Savior? Then now is a great time to get to know him. Get to know Jesus right now. Surrender your life to him in this very moment and get to know him. Even as he serves you, our elders are standing in proxy of the Lord serving you himself today, that he would serve you the bread. He took that bread on the night that he was betrayed, and he broke it, and he said, this is my body given for you. Receive it every time you do it. Do it remembering me. He didn't just say, remember what I did, but remember me in this right here, right now moment. And then he took that cup and he lifted up and said, this is the cup. And I always love to emphasize, he said, this is the cup of the new covenant.
Yeah.
This is a new covenant cup that I have for you. In the old covenant, man was in a covenant with God, and we broke that covenant over and over and over again. But in the new covenant, God came as a man. And so God cut covenant with God. So in other words, the one upholding the covenant is Jesus himself. I mean, you know, that puts us in a really great place to receive this meal this morning. We have a brand new covenant to receive today. So I'm going to invite you to stand, and we'll come and we'll receive. Receive your healing today. Receive your freedom. Receive your liberty. Receive whatever it is that you need from Jesus is at this table today. And so I want to invite you to come this morning and to receive. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to come. You are so good, and you're good all the time. So, Lord, we receive today from you as we come to the table. We give and we receive. But we only give because we first receive today, God. And we thank you. We give you glory as we come in your name. Amen. All right, we invite you to go ahead and come as we continue to worship together. Wounded and forsaken, I was shattered by the fall. Broken and forgotten, feeling lost and all alone. Summoned by the King into the Master's courts. Lifted by the Savior and cradled in his arms.
was carried to the table, seated where I now belong, right where I belong. I was carried to the table, swept away by His love. And I don't see my brokenness anymore. When I'm seated at the table of the Lord, carried to the table. The table of the Lord. Fighting thoughts of fear. Thoughts of fear, wondering why He called my name. Am I good enough to share this cup? The world has left me lame. But even in my weakness, the Savior called my name. And in His holy presence, I'm healing unashamed. Carried to the table, seated right where I belong. I was carried to the table, swept away by His love. And I don't see my brokenness anymore. When I'm seated at the table of the Lord, I was carried to the table. The table of the Lord. Away by Your love. I don't see my brokenness, and I don't see my brokenness anymore. When I'm seated at the table of the Lord, can we sing that again? I don't see my brokenness. I don't see my brokenness anymore. When I'm seated at the table of the Lord, sing it one more time. I don't see, no, I don't see my brokenness anymore. No, no. When I'm seated at the table of the Lord, I am carried to the table. The table of the Lord. Oh, seated right where I belong. I'm carried to the table, swept away by your love.
I just love this part right here so much. I don't see my brokenness.
And I don't see my brokenness anymore when I'm seated at the table. When I'm seated at the table of the Lord, I am carried to the table. The table of the Lord.
Chris, will you pray for us, bro?
Yes, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Father God, for what you've done this morning already. Row by row and seat by seat, touching hearts, pulling out identity of the beloved. We thank you for who you are. We bless this word that you have given to Brent to give to the congregation. We pray it's seated in the hearts of many permanently. In Jesus' name, we love you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. All right. Slap somebody a high five. Don't slap somebody. Slap somebody a high five this morning. Tell them you look better than the person I sat next to last week.
You look better than the person I sat next to this morning.
What's wrong with me? Thank you, Daniel. Exactly. That's hilarious. Oh, my gosh. Yes, 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 yes. Well, welcome this morning. Thank you, babe. Welcome. We're glad you're here today. And I want to welcome you personally. My name is Brent, and I'm lead pastor here at the Gate. Don't let that scare you. We're glad you're here today, and we want you to feel welcome. One of the ways that we love to welcome new people is, and maybe you've never done this before. If you're new to the house, you'll notice under the seats in front of you, there's some Bibles, and inside those Bibles is a welcome home card. If you'll fill one of those out, we would love to get to know you a little bit better. You'll turn that in at the end of service at the right-hand side of our sanctuary in the back. You'll notice that we have a lit-up area back there. That's our bookstore. Someone will meet you back there at the end of service to give you a free gift and just kind of get to know you a little bit, say thanks for hanging out with us. And we're just glad you're here. As always, online family, we're glad you're with us. We want you to feel welcome this morning. You are in the house with us. The same Jesus who's working and moving here is the same Jesus who is working and moving where you are, and we want you to feel welcome in the house. Will you welcome our online family and the new folks that are with us today? We're glad you're here. Some quick things I want to let you know about. First of all, we've got some cool things going on at the bookstore. I mentioned it earlier in the back of the room. There's some great devotionals. This time of year is a great time of year to spend some time just focusing on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And so there's an Easter to Pentecost devotion that's back there. There's one called The Hope of Easter that's back there in the back. We've also got The Glory of the Cross that's available back there. All of these look like great books. And so I want to encourage you to go back and visit our bookstore. For one thing, the bookstore director is hot. Here you go, babe. She is hot. So I want to encourage you guys to just visit our bookstore. There's a lot of great books back there. There are books that we have in our bookstore that you just cannot get in any other bookstore in town. We carry specific lines of books from specific publishers that really emphasize a spirit-filled, spirit-empowered life. And so we want to encourage you to check out those books in the bookstore when you get a chance. Got a great selection of Bibles back there, too. Really encourage you to take a look at those. I'm going to be speaking some today about the power of Scripture in our lives. So I would encourage you to grab one of those as well. All right, a few things I want to let you know that are happening. One, you can always scan the QR code that's on the screen or on the seats in front of you. Take you to a landing page where you can learn more about the Gate. But just a few things I want to highlight today. First of all, coming up this Friday night, we've got Pastor Quincy Goodstar will be in the house again every second Friday. We have Pastor Quincy with us. We're getting baptized in the gospel of grace. One of the best teachers that, and I was going to say in this state, but I think it's much bigger than that. And Pastor Quincy just got on a whole new set of Alpha Omega Broadcasting as well as the Now Network. So his television ministry is expanding. He films that television program right here on the second Friday of every month, and we get to be a part of that, and we also get to be impacted and grow. So I encourage you, if you want to know more about grace, if you, and believe me, you do, if you want to know more about grace, come out this Friday night. Also, March the 10th at 6 p.m., so this is next Sunday, at 6 o'clock at night, we've got a special night called Missions, It's for Everyone, with Jaron Navy. And I want to encourage you to come out and hear the story, stories of what God has been doing in Mardi Gras and whatever else God lays on Jaron's heart to share with us. Because really, I believe what the Lord's going to do is going to just light a fire in some hearts for missions. And so I want to encourage you to come out, hear the incredible testimonies. We as elders got to hear this story the other night, and it was fantastic hearing some of the stories about what God is doing. So come out and be a part of that. Then men, and let me just talk to the ladies for a second. Ladies, if you are married or if you have a boyfriend, make sure that he is at this retreat. Wives, kick your husband out of the house. Don't let him stay. March the 15th through the 17th, we're going to be gathering at Swan Lake. It is an amazing time. And it's $160, which covers four meals, two nights lodging, and the activities that we will do together at the retreat. So I want to encourage you guys to come out and be a part of it. If you don't have money to attend, please still talk to Jake. We would, if you would like to help sponsor some guys to go, because Jake was sharing with me this morning, there's some men who want to go and they just don't have money to be able to do it, or maybe not enough money. Maybe you can give some, but you can't give all of it. We would like to have some people that, if you would be willing to give towards men's ministry, to scholarship some guys, if the Lord moves on your heart to do that, that'll enable some of our guys to be able to go and be a part of it. But we don't want any man to miss out for any reason. Also, if you got a teenage son, we'd love to have your teenage son be there with us as well. Men, that you would bring your teenage son with you. Or last year, a couple of us guys took some, we have some single moms, and we took some of the teenage kids that have single moms and they didn't have a dad to go with them. And so we don't want any guy to miss out or any teenage guy to miss out on being a part of men's retreat. It's super important you sign up now, because this retreat's less than 2 weeks away. So Jake will be out in the foyer after service to meet with you guys. Where's Jake at? He can wave his hand around. Oh, Jake is counting. Moo, That's what I thought of. So, one, two. So Jake is counting, but you will meet him in the foyer after service at, by the men at the gate sign. All right. So also, March 24th is coming up. This is an exciting month because this is the month when we celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And on March 24th, we've got palms and pancakes that are happening that Sunday morning, which so that's Palm Sunday. That's a big deal around here. We'll all have palms. We'll be waving them. But before service, everybody say before service. Before service that morning, you're going to want to come and eat pancakes and sausage with us. And we're just going to hang out and have a great time. Our elders are going to be serving us that day. It's going to be fun. And then March 29th, that's Good Friday, at 6 o'clock, the youth are going to do an interactive Good Friday service. Interactive meaning you're going to get to go to various stations and experience what Good Friday was all about. So this is by youth for us. It's not youth for youth. It's done by our youth ministry, and it is for us to encounter and experience what Jesus made. I would encourage you, don't skip past Good Friday. Don't blow from Palm Sunday into Resurrection Sunday without missing on focusing on what Jesus did on the cross for us. So that will be on Friday, March the 29th, and then, of course, Resurrection Sunday. Speaking of the resurrection season, we're going to show you a quick video. You maybe noticed on your seat, the Passion and the Cross. How many of you have ever been to this before? How many of you would tell everybody they need to go? This is an amazing opportunity to see the gospel presented with excellence. But rather than me talk about it, let's check out this video.
Children come to me. Do not
That's good, huh? Did anybody recognize Jesus? I don't mean did you recognize Jesus. Did you recognize who's playing Jesus? It's our own Aaron Muntz. And he's been playing Jesus every year. I don't even know how many years that he's been doing that. But also, did you see Jairus in there? You saw... How many of, maybe there's some people in here today that are a part of it. Let's see how many here are helping out your part. Either you're in it or you're serving behind the scenes and you're a part of it. So, hey, let's say thank you to these guys for putting this on. It's a great way that people can get to know the gospel story. So we encourage you to, in fact, let's stop for a moment. Father, we pray over this. Lord, we believe you want to use this ministry, this production, to draw people into a relationship with you. That's what you want to do, God. That's always been your heart. There's an invitation to a wedding, and a wedding with the King. And so, God, we thank you that people are going to respond. Lord, we pray for Aaron. God, we pray for all of those that are a part of this. Jairus, Jaron, all the different people that are a part of this, Lord. Jolynn behind the scenes as well, all of them. God, from our church and all the different churches in the community. In fact, there's only one church in this city. And so, Lord, from the Church of Jesus, as so many people come together to present this, we pray over them, God. We cover them right now, and we declare they are protected from any assaults or attacks of the enemy, that this year will be the smoothest and easiest year they've ever had. That this thing will go smoothly from top to bottom, beginning to end, and many people will come to the kingdom of God. We declare it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, grab your notes and your Bibles, and you can open... Well, open anywhere. It's all good. I'm going to be in Psalm 118, but you go ahead and just open up. It's all good. So I'm in the midst of a series that we're calling Today, Living the Right Here, Right Now Life. And we've been using Psalm 118:24 as kind of our theme passage. So I want us to take a look at this morning. And remember, our theme for the whole year is... Oh, you guys are awesome. Several of you are getting stars on your charts today. Several of you. So we're going to live the right here, right now life with a God who is a right here, right now God. And we're going to use Psalm 118:24. It's on the screen, and I would encourage you to read this with me if you would this morning. Ready? Read. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. Come on, that's a happy verse. That's a glad verse. This is the day. In fact, my intention this morning, at least for myself, I'm going to preach my own self happy. You can join in if you want to, but my plan for myself is to preach my own self more happy than I am even right now, and I'm feeling pretty good. But if you are here this morning and you're not in that kind of a place, I want you to know you have a God that loves you right where you are, is sitting with you right where you are, and his intention is to bring fullness of joy into your life. So I want to take a look this morning about how I believe that God has a right here, right now word for us. He has a right here, right now word for you. And you can follow along in your notes if you're taking notes this morning, first bullet. God has a word within his word to lead you into a deeper relationship with the word, Jesus himself. I'm going to read that again because that's kind of a mouthful, isn't it? So God has a word within his word, scripture, to lead you into a deeper relationship with capital T, capital W, the word, Jesus himself. Because scripture tells us in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. And then John 1:17 says the word became flesh. And so we're going to talk about the word, scripture, and Jesus, how God will use scripture to connect us with him. And the way I came to this, again, I think I told you guys last week, I'm weird. I do. There's some things that I find fun that maybe wouldn't be so fun for everybody. But I just went through and read every single passage in Scripture where the word today is used. I wanted to read every one of them to see what could it be in there that's hidden. It's kind of like a treasure hunt. Have you ever done that with Scripture? Just go on a treasure hunt. So I was looking to see what, if you are a right here, right now God, I should find several passages that speak about what you're doing today. And one of them that I ran across was Proverbs chapter 22:19. And while this isn't explicitly speaking about Scripture, It is explicitly speaking about what Solomon wrote in Proverbs. And so Psalm 22:19 says this, so that your trust may be in the Lord. So the principle is the same. What we're going to read, what you read in the book of Proverbs, the wisdom that Solomon wrote, the principle is the same. So that your trust may be in the Lord, I have instructed you today, even you. I really kind of laughed when I read that. It's kind of like, I've instructed you today, Brent, even you. That's funny. Yeah, even you. Just letting you know, you get included too, Brent. So you can hear that over you this morning as well. I've instructed you today, even you. I love that because it's not just a general word then that God speaks to his people. Like he has and he does. God has things that he speaks in seasons maybe to the whole global church, or something that he speaks in seasons to the national church or to our church in particular. But God wants you to know, even you personally, Kaylin, even you personally, I know where you are because I know where you sit, except sometimes when you try to trick me. But God has a personal word for Kaylin this morning, right? He has a personal word for you this morning, and he has a personal word every single day, today. Notice it says today, right? So the principle that we're looking at this morning, and here's where I want to take this today in your notes, is that Scripture, rightly understood, will always lead to greater trust in the Lord. When I understand Scripture rightly, then it will lead to a greater trust. My trust in Him will grow as I'm spending time in His Word. If my trust in Him isn't growing, in other words, if I read Scripture and I feel like I'm pushing further away from Him, then I haven't yet understood that Scripture rightly. I haven't understood it yet in a way that it actually leads me into relationship with the capital W word, Jesus Himself. John 5:39, here's what Jesus said. He said, you are busy analyzing the Scriptures. He says this to the Pharisees, right? They could quote the first five books of the law verbatim. Can you imagine memorizing? In fact, they had most of the Old Testament memorized. Can you imagine memorizing Deuteronomy or Leviticus, which we just finished reading in our daily Bible reading? Can you imagine memorizing? And of course they memorized Leviticus, especially the priests then would memorize Leviticus because it was super important that they were trying to follow it exactly right. So they would pore over the Scriptures. He said, because here's the deal. You're frantically poring over them because remember, He's not just speaking to them, but this is for us. Remember I said this last week, a great hermeneutical principle about, hermeneutics just means how we study Scripture and how we interpret Scripture. A great hermeneutical principle is that all of the Bible is written for me, but not all of the Bible is written to me. So there are passages that are written to specifically Israel, but there are things that God can speak from that passage that is, it's for me. It's not necessarily to me, but it is for me. So Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees, but how many of you know Holy Spirit had this written down for us? So he says, and I can relate to this, you are busy analyzing the Scriptures, frantically poring over them in hopes of gaining eternal life. I got to learn it. I got to study. I got to memorize it because my hope is in the Bible. My hope is there. That's where my hope is. I got to find that Scripture. I need that Scripture. Jesus said, but you missed the forest for the trees. Actually, that's Brent. He said, everything you read points to me. See that one right there. Everything you read points to me. So therefore, when I go to study Scripture, and I was raised, you know, Bible school, that it's super important. I do believe this, that you study the context, you study the original language, you study the culture it was written to, because the original culture would have heard it differently than I'm hearing it, so then it needs to be interpreted in light of the culture that I'm living in now, so it will hit me in the way that it hit them, and all of that's super important, but I can do all of that, and I can totally miss it if I'm not reading it with the understanding that all of it's pointing to Jesus. And having an encounter with Jesus. I love to say it this way. We approach the Bible like a manual. When God wants us to approach it to encounter Emmanuel. That rather than just looking for a list of do's and don'ts and trying to figure out what I'm supposed to do and what I'm not supposed to do, the very book itself opens up with calling that the knowledge of good and evil. Then all I'm doing is using that Bible to eat from the wrong tree. You can use your Bible to eat from the wrong tree. How do you know that, Brent? Because I've done it. I've done it a lot in my life. You can use your Bible just to go to the Bible to try to figure out what's right and to figure out what's wrong. And yes, there are absolutely solid biblical principles. Absolutely, I believe that. But the highest encounter and the way Scripture is intended from God's point of view, I didn't say this, Jesus did. From Jesus' point of view, He wants us to encounter Him in Scripture. In your notes, Jesus wants to reveal Himself to you on every page. I also wrote on every screen because I know that a lot of you are like me and you don't necessarily use pages anymore, right? So you're looking at your phone or maybe you're listening to Scripture. No matter what it is, you're listening to Scripture, you're reading it on your phone or tablet, or you're reading your actual physical book like my wife. She's got to feel the pages, right? Feel those pages, turn those pages. However you're encountering Scripture, the point is not, hear me, please hear what I'm saying, because I absolutely love the Bible. I wouldn't even be preaching from it every week if I didn't believe and love the Bible. But the point is never to encounter Scripture. The point is to encounter Jesus. And Scripture is the pathway, one major pathway towards our encounter with Scripture. You remember the story of Jesus when he has this encounter with these two guys that are after the resurrection. They're on the road to Emmaus, and they're like having this conversation. They're sad. He's been crucified, and they don't know like what's up from down. They think all their hopes and dreams were in Jesus, and now he's dead. And this whole thing is over, and we totally misunderstood God, and we thought he was the Messiah, and they're in a bad place. They're in a really hard place, and Jesus comes along, and they don't recognize him. So they're kept from being able to recognize him. Now, I don't know if it's because the Lord kept them from recognizing him or if they were so grief-stricken that they could never believe it was him, even if he looked like him. They couldn't believe this would really be him. It's probably Aaron. That's probably what they thought. It's Aaron from Church at the Gate, and he looks a lot like Jesus, and he's walking down the road with us. So Luke chapter 24, though, it says, he came and he began to talk with them, and it says, beginning at Moses. What does that mean? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the law, beginning at Moses, and all the prophets. So all the way through. I would love to have been on that walk. How about you guys? I would love to have been on that walk that day. In fact, at the end of the story, it says he broke bread. So it's kind of like a communion type picture. And at the breaking of bread, he disappeared. And when he disappeared, which must have been totally freaky, oh my gosh, he vanishes from their sight. And all of a sudden, they realize it was him, and they're like, did our hearts not burn within us while he opened the Scripture to us on the road? So they have this encounter with him, and Jesus tells them about Jesus. Beginning in Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. So he went through and reinterpreted the Bible for them. We need Jesus to do that. Jesus went through and reinterpreted Scripture for them so that they could look at Scripture and actually see in every part of Scripture, even the parts that make us scratch our heads sometimes, that somehow, as we're in relationship with Him, and the longer you walk with Him, you find this to be true, right? The longer you walk with Him, you may carry a question in your heart for years. I've looked at passages and scratched my head for years, and then one day, out of the blue, it may be I'm just reading it, or I'm worshiping, or I'm just hanging out, not even thinking about it, and all of a sudden revelation comes. Or I hear a teacher teach something that I'm like, I never saw that before. And all of a sudden it comes alive on the inside of me. There's something in me that goes, oh man, what that person is saying right now, my heart is burning in me. Have you had that happen before? Either you're reading Scripture, or someone's teaching Scripture, or you're just going about your day and a Scripture comes to your mind, and all of a sudden you feel that burning on the inside of you, like, whoa, there's something on this that's more than I realize. This actually points to Jesus. One of my best buddies, Quincy Goodstar, he's one of my favorite people to hang out with for that reason. That everywhere he turns in the Old Testament, he finds Jesus. Everywhere. I've heard him do it over and over and over and over at lunch with him or in the pulpit. He's the same guy. We talk about Star Wars too, but when he's talking about the Bible, he's able to somehow, well, I know how, it's Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that lives in Quincy. But see, he's got his grace glasses on, right? When he goes back into the Old Testament, he goes back into the Old Testament not trying to live under the Old Covenant, which is a part of the Old Testament. How many know the Old Testament's bigger than the Old Covenant? The Old Covenant is the covenant that God cut with Israel under Moses, but the Old Testament contains a bunch of covenants. The Abrahamic covenant, the Edenic covenant, which is Eden, the Noahic covenant. All these covenants are in Scripture. But I've seen Quincy go in, and I've done, you know, had this in my own life too, into the most obscure passage in the law and say, hey, this was actually pointing to Jesus. The whole book's about him. That's what Jesus was telling the guys on the road to Emmaus. In your notes, Jesus wants you to experience life through his word, through the Scripture. He wants you to experience life through his word. In fact, Jesus said this himself in John 6:33. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. So in other words, Jesus can take the written word and he can interpret that rightly to you, so that then you hear him speak that word to you through the word, but it's in your heart that he's speaking to you. And all of a sudden there's life on that thing that God is speaking, that before you read it, maybe you read it over and over and over. And you're like, this is boring. Anybody get that feeling sometimes when you're in Leviticus? Boring. And then all of a sudden, boom, there's life on it because Jesus speaks it to you and gives you a revelation that he's there, you just didn't see him before. So there's all this incredible life that God wants us to know and experience through his word. And yet, this week I was doing some research on this, and according to the Pew Research Center, somebody say pew. Pew. Somebody say pew, pew. Just kidding, okay. According to the Pew Research Center, listen to this statistic. I think I have it on the screen too. 50% of all Christians seldom or never read the Bible. 50%. There's much more research than that. It's actually 10% of Americans at large, like as a whole. The research shows that about 10% of Americans read the Bible. And 50% of people who proclaim to be Christians, 50% either never or seldom read the Bible. So I want to promise you, this message is not a crank down the, like, okay, so this, I'm going to make you feel so guilty that you don't read your Bible. By the time you leave here, you're going to re-up again. You're going to commit again, and then you're going to hit Leviticus and you're going to quit again, right? I'm not going to do that to you this morning. My goal is not to try to get you to make a commitment that you're going to read Scripture this morning. My goal is, by the grace of God, that such a fire gets lit on the inside of you that wild horses couldn't keep you away from reading Scripture, because you're going to encounter Jesus there. So I want to entice you. What I want to do this morning, what every good pastor should do, is not, did you know some people say, I quit going to that church because I wasn't getting fed. It's actually not a pastor's job to feed. No shepherd feeds sheep. They lead sheep to good places to eat. So all I get to do is read the menu. I'm going to read the menu until you salivate this morning. That's going to be my goal, all right? To read the menu until you salivate this morning. Because when you read the Bible, sometimes do you just feel confused, or maybe anybody ever felt condemned when they read the Bible? Or even afraid? Like you end up shutting the book real fast. Like I've done the Bible roulette before. You've done that, right? Where I need a word from you and I pop it open and it's like, I will slaughter thee. I'm like, no, no, no. Close it really fast, you know. Open it back up again. I got to try another one. I think I better go much further to the right. Boom, 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 boom. This time I'll go way over there. Maybe Galatians, God, something. So I know what it's like. I know what it's like. I know what it's like to read the Bible and walk away from it, or else close it because I'm so confused, or I don't understand it, or I feel condemned, or I feel afraid. We need to talk about that. We need to talk about this. That's very real, because of course Satan doesn't want us to encounter Jesus. And one of the primary ways we encounter Jesus is through Scripture. It's a great way to encounter Jesus. And Jesus doesn't want the Bible to be used by the enemy to produce that in you. And believe me, the devil knows the Bible. He used it on Jesus, right? Well, is it not written? He would tell Jesus, right? You're not going to dash your foot against the stone. You know, just jump off this pinnacle. And and you'll be safe. Can he use the Bible, right? He knows Scripture. And the enemy will try to use the Bible to condemn you. He'll try to use the Bible to shame you. Try to use the Bible to make you feel afraid. Try to use the Bible to make you run from God. And ultimately get you to shut the book, because he knows that in your heart, you look at that book and you say, if God's like this and I don't understand that, then I've got to close this and I've just got to forget about it. Maybe I'll go sit in a church and be bored for 20 years and hopefully I'll get to go to heaven, but I can't read this book. That is not what God wants to happen for you. He's got something so much better for you in encountering him in Scripture. For example, just an example, he wants you to see, like when you look at impossible commands, like you look at a command in Scripture, even in the New Testament, you look at commands and you're like, whoa, that looks like a command to me. But he wants to reinterpret those not just as commands, but for you to begin to see them as prophecies. That they're actually prophecies that he intends to fulfill in you. Well, I'm going to use one real, I don't think this is in your notes, but Colossians 3:8, I think I have it on the screen. Colossians 3:8, do we have it? Yeah. So Colossians 3:8, you just run around, you run along, you read this, you're like, or you pop open your Bible and you read, but now put away and rid yourselves completely of all these things: anger, rage, bad feelings towards others, curses, slanders, foul mouth abuse, shameful utterances from your lips. And you read that and you're like, yeah, that sounds like I want to be that kind of person, but I also kind of remember my last week. Anybody ever have that happen? You read through something like this and you like read yourself completely? That's what the Amplified Bible says. Why? The reason it said that is because that's the tense of this verse. That's where this verse has taken us. To rid yourself completely of all these: anger, rage, bad feelings toward others. I know there's a bunch of sins that we like to talk about as the church. The really bad, bad sins out there. Smoking and drinking and swimming with bow-legged women. Stuff like that, right? All these really bad, bad sins. How about bad feelings toward others? Bad, cursing others, slandering people, foul mouth abuse, shameful utterances. He says, put all that away from your lips. What if instead of when you read that, you read it as, oh, I got to quit doing these things. I got to quit thinking these things. I got to quit doing these things. You got to quit thinking. You're like, oh, wow, you put this in here because this is what you're working in me. You're setting me free from this. I'm not going to be an angry person full of rage and have speech toward others that's hurtful or abusive or bad feeling towards other people. You're empowering me. This is a prophecy over my life. This is a promise for a new covenant believer. I can receive it as a promise from you. That's one example of a way that God can reinterpret Scripture for you so that you don't see it as condemnation, but you see it as a prophecy. And you let the Holy Spirit produce trust in you. Like, wow, if you're saying this over me, then you're going to do it. It's not about you and I trying to fulfill Scripture. It's about trusting the God who began a good work in us. Remember Proverbs? We read it in the very beginning. That the word that God speaks to us today produces trust. And so when I trust in him, then that changes the direction that my life goes, right? Instead of my life going the way that it was before, where I find myself in bad feelings towards other people. And, yes, I love them, Lord, but I don't have to like them. Have you ever said that before? That's bogus. I love them, but I don't have to like them. What if God was like that with you? Yeah. I love you, Scott, but I don't have to like you. I'm just accept you in here because of my son, so you're in. That's not the heart of God, right? I mean, God's not going to call us to something he doesn't walk in. 1 Corinthians 13 isn't like the ideal for us, and then God doesn't even live that way himself, keeps no record of wrongs. If you want to look at a passage that will show you exactly how far you've fallen short, if you want to receive it like that, you can. 1 Corinthians 13, right? I don't know anybody who loves like that 100% of the time except Jesus. And the more my eyes are on Jesus, the more I love like that. So that changes the way I read Scripture. I look at it as prophetic over my life. Look at John chapter 8. Let's look at another passage. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my children indeed, and you shall know the truth. Well, who is the truth, right? Jesus. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I love this translation because it's not just kind of set you free. He will make you free. Truth doesn't make you free. The truth you know makes you free. The Jesus you know makes you free. So in your notes, reading Scripture with eyes to see Jesus, the truth, has amazing benefits. In fact, let me share with you statistically some benefits of reading Scripture. Again, I just want to get you salivating on the inside like, ooh, I can't wait to grab my Bible this week. In 2009, these statistics, in 2009, the Center for Biblical Engagement issued a report that concluded that people who read the Bible at least 4 days a week experience the following benefits. Here's some of the benefits. 57% lower odds of getting drunk. 68% lower odds of sex outside of marriage. 61% lower odds of looking at pornography. 74% lower odds of gambling. Any of these habits, 57% lower odds just by reading the Scripture 4 days a week. That's awesome, right? That makes you, so if you're struggling with a particular area in your life, and who isn't, right? Come on. Well, the church shouldn't look like that. Yeah, I know it shouldn't, but guess what? It's full of people. And it's full of people on a journey. We need to grace each other. We're on a journey together. And on this journey, if we spend time allowing God to show us Jesus, not just trying to memorize the Bible, to do the good stuff and not do the bad stuff, but to encounter Jesus. When I encounter Jesus in Scripture, man, these are incredible benefits that we can have in our life. In fact, it's not just the negative stuff, but more Scripture engagement also produces a Christian who is more involved in spreading the good news. 228% higher odds that a person will share their faith when they're spending 4 days a week or more in Scripture. And there's a 231% higher odds that you're going to disciple someone when you're spending time in Scripture. So, with all that in mind, like again, something stirring inside of us, that, wow, God actually gave me this book as a gift. And as I spend time getting to know Jesus while I'm in this book, as I get time spending getting to know Him, getting to see who He is, and remembering that God looks like Jesus, God always looks like Jesus. If I see something in Scripture that doesn't look like that, then God help me understand clearly what you're saying to me, but always reset to Jesus. Always reset to Jesus. Help me understand what you're saying about who Jesus is, because He is the author and the finisher of my faith. So I want to look at John chapter 2, verse 17. Now this takes place during the cleansing of the temple. It says His disciples remembered, okay, cleansing of the temple, something had happened twice, because John does it early in his book, and then towards the end of the other synoptics, that's Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They're called that because they're so much alike, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but John's kind of different. He has a different story to tell. He tells it in a different way, writes his letter later than any of the rest of them. And John puts this cleansing of the temple episode at the beginning. So some think he cleansed it twice. Others say John just wasn't concerned about chronology. He was more concerned about revealing the I am, the seven I ams of who Jesus is, and some various other things that were John's burden that weren't the synoptics' burden. So, but what happens is, whether he does it twice or whether he does it once, we know that Jesus cleanses the temple, right? He goes into the temple. He drives out the money changers. He said, my house is going to be called a house of prayer. He's passionate about the house of God. It's actually some people's favorite picture of Jesus. I love kick butt Jesus, you know, like that. That picture of Jesus going into the temple. And it's real. Jesus went into the temple and He drove out the money changers. We want to see who He is. And I love this. I love this. It says in John 2:17, then His disciples remembered this prophecy from Scripture. Passion for God's house will consume me. I do want to say, there's no record that Jesus used the whip on a person. None. You can't find it in the text. He knocked over some tables and He made a whip. And He swung that whip around. There's nowhere that says He smacked anybody upside the head, kicked them, punched them. Taekwondo Jesus. Hi-ya! But He is fiery. He's not okay with what has happened here, where they've come into the temple. Instead of people being able to connect with God, they've actually turned it into a place where you don't have the right sacrifice. Well, let me tell you what I can do for you. I have just the right, if you pay me just the right amount of money, I'll make sure you have the right sacrifice. And they're stepping between God and people, and they've turned it into a nasty place. And He says, I'm not okay with that. I'm never okay with people separating people from me. And He says, so the Jewish leaders, Well, passion for God's house will consume me, is the scripture. But the Jewish leaders demanded, what are you doing? If God gave you authority to do this, show us a miraculous sign to prove it. All right, Jesus replied, destroy this temple and in 3 days I'm going to raise it up. And what? They explained, it took 46 years to build this temple and you're going to build it in 3 days? But when Jesus said this temple, he meant his own body. And after he was raised from the dead, the disciples remembered he had said this. Look at this. And they believed both the scriptures and what Jesus had said. I want you to see that phrase right there. So they believed both the scriptures and what Jesus had said. In other words, in your notes, the scriptures were the foundation for the disciples' understanding of what Jesus was doing. So they wanted, like, I need to understand this, and Holy Spirit reminded them, well, this was actually prophesied about Jesus. Zeal for the house of God would consume him. And so it gave them a framework, right, for what he was doing. And they remembered the scripture, and it gave them the framework. And in your notes, the scriptures, rightly divided, are the foundation of our understanding of what God is doing right here, right now in our world. The scriptures rightly divided. Just like the scriptures provided the framework and the understanding of what Jesus was doing in that moment, the scriptures provide a framework for our understanding of who Jesus is in our right now, right here, right now moment. Rightly divided is the important part, 2 Timothy 2:15. Rightly dividing the word of truth. So in your notes, rightly dividing the word is reading the Bible. Here's what it means. Reading the Bible in the context of the finished work of the cross. Rightly dividing covenants. That we don't live under the old covenant anymore. Scripture is interpreted on the other side of the cross. If it's not, you will find yourself trying to live under a law nobody could ever live under anyways. Scripture, it will produce death in you. When Jesus said, my words are spirit. In fact, that's what it's supposed to do. It will actually cause sin to increase. Romans 7. That's what happens when we try to come back under a self-effort kind of way of living rather than a Jesus focus. I'm going to read these and then we're going to be done. I won't finish my notes today, but this is important to land here. Reading the Bible in the context of the finished work of the cross. This is going to be on the screen. I couldn't fit it on your notes. Before the cross, I've shared this before, but it's too good to not share again. Before the cross, we were blessed when we obeyed. We were cursed when we disobeyed. All these have scriptures. You can look them up later. But after the cross, we are blessed because we're forgiven. And we are redeemed from the curse of the law right now. Right now. Secondly, before the cross, this is an important one, we forgave in order to earn God's forgiveness. I mean, Jesus actually taught before the cross. But at the cross, we were unconditionally forgiven, and we now forgive because Christ has forgiven us. That's the way you read it for the rest of the New Testament. We now forgive because we're forgiven. How about this? Before the cross, loving your neighbor meant not coveting his wife or property. But after the cross, we love and accept others because Christ loves and accepts us. Before the cross, God appeared distant and unapproachable. Notice I said appeared. But because of the cross, we have been brought near to God to receive mercy and find grace at the throne of grace. Before the cross, we were held responsible for our sins, and not even sacrifices could clear a guilty conscience. In fact, David starts getting this revelation in the Old Testament. He all of a sudden has a revelation that sacrifices and burnt offerings you have not desired, but a broken spirit and a contrite heart. He gets that revelation. He's already starting to operate and tap into a new covenant mind. He sets up the Ark of the Covenant with a tent around it, and they sing 24/7 worship songs to God. David puts on a linen ephod, which was supposed to be for the priests. He strips down to it, more accurately, when he's dancing. He didn't strip down to his underwear. You know that, like David, he stripped down to in his underwear. No, he didn't strip down his underwear. He stripped down to a linen ephod, which is what the priests wore, which David started seeing himself as before the New Testament was even here. My Lord. Woo-hoo. So even in the Old Testament, there's an argument that starts happening inside the Old Testament. The Old Testament starts to question within itself. The Old Testament David is one of those people. Wait a minute. You didn't want sacrifices and burnt offerings. It isn't what you were looking for. It was the heart, God. It's the heart that you were after. So you know, on the screen. Before the cross, we were held responsible for our sins. I already said that one. Okay. Or did I say that one? Before the cross, we were held responsible for our sins. Not even sacrifice could clear a guilty conscience. But through the cross, Jesus' blood cleanses us from a guilty conscience. And he remembers our sins no more. That's what it says in Hebrews. He remembers our sins no more. Before the cross. Next one. Righteousness was demanded of sinful man. But at the cross, righteousness was freely given as a gift to us. We now have the gift of righteousness before God. Next, before the cross, Adam's sin meant condemnation for all men. But there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. A lot's changed. That's a partial list. A lot has changed since the cross. Amen? A lot has changed. So I want to encourage you today. I believe God wants to hopefully stir something on the inside of you to begin to go back and look at the book again. To go back and look at the book, but look at the book to encounter Jesus. If you run across stuff you're not sure about, put it on a shelf, ask Holy Spirit, show me Jesus, and reset to Jesus. Always reset to Jesus. Always reset to Jesus. God looks like Jesus. God has always looked like Jesus. There's never been a time God hasn't looked like Jesus. We didn't always know that, but now we do. We do know that's what God looks like now because Hebrews 1 tells us that's what God looks like. We just didn't realize that. So in the Old Testament, you see through a glass darkly. But in Jesus, you encounter a face-to-face relationship with who God has always been, who what the heart of God has always been like. He is Jesus, the Savior, who came and died and came to seek and save those that were lost. He came to get you. He came to find you. He came to bring you to Himself and bring you into a relationship with His Father. He's the self-sacrificial, lay down His life. I will not be okay with you staying bound and where you're at. He's that kind of God because He's that kind of Jesus. Amen. And you can encounter that Jesus in the Word. Let's stand. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So, Father, thank you for speaking to us through your word this morning, God. Thank you, Lord, that your word is true. Your word is good. Your word is beautiful when we understand that your word is leading us into a revelation of you, Jesus. Open our eyes. We didn't sing that part of the song this morning, but, oh, God, open our eyes. I want to see you. I want to see you rightly, Jesus. I want to see you, as we just like that song we began to sing this morning. Spirit of wisdom, open my eyes again. Spirit of revelation. Let's just sing that. Spirit of wisdom, open my eyes again. Spirit of revelation, open my heart again. Sing that again. Spirit of wisdom, open my eyes again. Spirit of revelation, open my heart again, 'cause I want to see you. Sing that again. 'Cause I want to see you rightly, Jesus. I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you rightly, Jesus. Lord, we say that this morning. We want to see you rightly. See you as you really are, God. Jesus' name. So get ready to close this morning. My go-to guy now is Jeff, for some reason, because he's on the front row. Jeff, and he's almost as tall as me, so he can see out there through this sea of awesome people. So thank you, bro. For just a moment with your, if we were in a pirate church, I would tell you to bow your head and close your good eye. But we're not in a pirate church. So you can just bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. Just a moment. If you're here and you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, you've never said yes to His yes. You're not getting Him to say yes to you today. He's already done that. Jesus said yes to you. He came to get you. He came to rescue you. He came to save you. He came to know you. He came that you could know Him. So today, if you've never surrendered your life to Him with no one looking except me and Jeff, would you raise your hand real high? Hold it up real high so that Jeff can see your hand going up. You say, you know what? I want to surrender my life to Jesus. I want to know Him. I want to know Him. He already loves you. He already is. He's not against you. He's for you. He came to get you. So if you want to know that Jesus today, raise your hand real high. Anyone before we leave? Okay. So here's what we're going to do to close this morning. I'm going to ask everybody who went to membership class and is joining joining the gate. You're not joining Destiny Foursquare Church. That church is in Rapid City. So if you're joining the gate this morning, I would like to invite you to come forward. And we did a membership class last week. And maybe some of you took membership class before and you hadn't made that decision to join. And you can make that decision this morning. So I'm going to invite you to go ahead and come forward. I know I talked to at least one person this morning is here. Someone else is out of town. Where is my man, Alden? Here we go. Here comes. Oh, dude. Awesome. He has the coolest hair in the church, by the way. Him and Aaron. Yeah, come on up. Welcome those that are coming. I'm going to move this. You guys can just... Perfect. That's perfect. Anybody else? Is Alden here? You guys can just line up right here in front. I want everybody to see how beautiful all of you are, how handsome all of you are. So this is a great bunch of people. And also, I know Brian Ewald is here. He's not here this morning, but he told me that he would be joining as well. So we want to receive our new family and our new members that are a part of the house today. And so I'm going to anoint them. I want to say today as we do this, becoming a member of the gate does not mean that we own you, right? All of you, you're his sheep, not mine. You belong to him. So when you become a member, it's saying that I feel like this is where I align with for this season as long as God has me here. God gets to choose how long that is. I don't. And I don't want anyone to, we're not the kind of church that somebody leaves here and we go the opposite aisle in Walmart so we don't have to see somebody, right? No, we don't do that. Somebody leaves, we stay friends. We're engaged because we're family. We're going to live together forever, right? So we just say that as long as God has these folks here, we want to receive them. These guys have some gifts. They are gifts, right? So Alden, also known as Giggles the Clown, I learned that he for years, right? Was Giggles the? Did you want me to tell that or not? Really, right? He was a clown. That's what he did. I mean, he's awesome. But he's an awesome man of God. We want you to get to know him. We want you to know Mary Grace if you haven't got to know Mary Grace. We want you to know Michelle if you haven't got to know Michelle. These two guys, gals, kind of know each other a little. It's mom and daughter, right? And I'm trying to call you Gideon, but your name's not Gideon. Benjamin, yes. Gideon's another cool guy that goes to church here. But Benjamin as well. And like I said, Benjamin has awesome hair, but there's way too more to him than that, right? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to anoint these guys with oil, and I'm just going to pray over them a prayer of receiving them as new members, and I would encourage you to stretch your hands toward them today as I do that. So, Father, thank you today for Alden. Lord, we bless him this morning. God, I thank you for your hand on his life. God, we receive you. I'm just going to say this over each one of you. Alden, we receive you. And we receive all the gifts that God has placed on the inside of you. We anoint Mary Kate this morning, and we declare Mary Grace this morning, and we declare Mary Grace, we receive you and all of the anointing that Jesus has placed on the inside of you and all of the gifting that God has placed on the inside. We receive who you are. We love who you are. Michelle, we receive you this morning. Father, I thank you for your hand on Michelle's life. God, I thank you that this is a new season. I hear him saying that right now over you, Michelle. It's a new season. It's like a crossing over point, almost like when Israel crossed the Jordan River, that this is a crossing over point right here to a brand new day for you in so many ways of the things that God has placed on the inside of you, that now is the time, this is the hour for those things to begin to come forth. And I declare it in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for Benjamin. God, I thank you for your hand on him. Lord, Benjamin, the son of the right hand, the son that you love. God, I thank you, Lord, that you are so, I just hear him say, Benjamin, I'm so well pleased with you. We receive your gifts. We receive who you are. Not just what you do. Every one of you, we say over you, we receive who you are. We thank you for each one of these. They're our brother and our sister. We bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Will you guys stay up here for a sec? Yeah. So we're going to close today by inviting all of those that are members to come through. I'll have you come through this way. You'll start with Giggles here. You'll never get away from that now. You'll start with Alden, and you'll work your way across these guys. And just shake their hand, welcome them, give them the Bible calls the right hand of fellowship, because we don't do the left foot of fellowship around here. So the right hand of fellowship, we want to come invite you to come and join and just say hi to these guys. So if you want prayer teams, how about you meet over here? That way people can go through this way. And prayer teams will be available over here on this side. If you want prayer, come and receive prayer. Otherwise, have an amazing week. Go out and give them. Amen. God bless.
forgiveness like the tide rolling in, taking up the space where shame has lived, receiving all that you died to give. Let the wind blow, let the tide roll. To the earth knows you're a God of love. Let my dry bones sing a new song. All the glory to the God of love. Hey.